Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, May 28th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the man coming back from his first time ever at Disney World, at Tim Geddes.
The boys are back at it like a bad habit. Me and you, man. Loving it. Spent a whole week with you in Florida.
I know, it was
that
great.
That was fantastic. A lot of fun.
Sucked that Adam Kovic was there for fun.
Man. The big flow.
The big flow flow, as they call it. It did catch on. If you are not calling Florida the big flow flow, you are missing out. Am I working with somebody about trying to get a flow beer involved for a kind of funny eye?
There we go.
Will it happen? Probably not.
Yeah, great week with you, but happy to be back here in the studio.
The big stew stew.
Oh, God. Let's get it going.
Take off your clothes and get in the stew stew pot with us. All right, come on, man. Have some fun. It felt weird to come back, right? Because you figure it was Judges Week 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Then it was this Florida week. So, like, I've been in the office like all of 2 days.
Yeah,
and so, coming in today, I was like, oh, man. Got a whole bunch of Playmobil Ghostbuster toys at my desk. That's pretty stoked about
a little
that.
Game showcase work going on?
Not a little. There's a lot of Kinda Funny Game Showcase coming on. Because if you didn't know, guess what, everybody? The Kinda Funny Game Showcase is Monday, June 10th, 4:30 p.m. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. We're doing a YouTube premiere. That's right. One gigantic Kinda Funny Games E3 showcase. All the indies you can handle. More than 60 games and developers there to show you the goods, as they say.
And dude, it's that time, man. We're getting dates. We're getting times on those dates where announcements are going to be made.
That's true.
And our next couple weeks are looking fun, man. There's nothing like the hype of E3. You know, a lot of people talk about this thing Christmas. They're just like, oh, there's presents. You wake up and whatever.
Sure.
Some people celebrate Christmas Eve. That's when they get to open their presents. I got to open my presents on Christmas
Eve. That's
weird. Yeah, my mom always told me it's because Santa started on the West Coast. It just doesn't make sense when I learned about time zones. But you know what? It's all good.
Mom just didn't want to get woken up early.
Yeah. So that was a whole thing. The point I'm trying to make with this is that E3, I feel like Christmas Eve is now.
It feels like it, right?
Things are just popping off left and right.
You say
and
why?
Hype is real.
What things are popping off, ladies and gentlemen? Well, things like Death Stranding and Last of Us 2 speculation, a Ubisoft subscription service, and Pokemon. We'll talk about them all right now because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames with your questions, your comments, your concerns, and everything else under the daily video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, thank you so much. Please consider giving us your Amazon Prime subscription. Of course, that gives you your Twitch Prime. If you're a listener right now driving the old big rig, you didn't know. You got Amazon Prime, you got Twitch Prime. We'd love to give that free subscription to us. I digress. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Cooking with Greggy has a new episode up right now. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. What episode is it? It's the Josh McCuga carbonara episode. Wow. If you didn't know, this is the carbonara so unhealthy, Chrissy Teigen said it couldn't be in her cookbook. Wow. True story, explained on the show. Go check it out, please.
It's in the McCuga cookbook, though.
If you also didn't know, over on Patreon.com/kindoffunny, for just $1, you can get the entire new season of Nicknames and Orioration. Remember, you guys funded all these different shows coming back in January. We want to space them out so they don't cannibalize each other on YouTube, but we don't want to punish the people who supported them on Patreon, so we're just giving everything over on Patreon. Binge watch on Patreon.
Binge watch.
It's all there for a buck. Go enjoy. Then, thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack, Tom Bach, and Mohammed. This is a new shirt at kindoffunny.com/store. And today, we're brought to you by Omaha Steaks and Skillshare, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Good job. Everybody's got energy today. That's what happens with a 3-day weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? We actually took a day off.
We actually took a day off.
Woo.
How you feel about that, Barrett?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
Played a lot.
You don't know the pain of, like, you know, your Kevins and Joeys who had to work here, and we just always forgot to schedule days off for them.
I feel like there was a holiday already this year that we had to work.
Oh, wow. You lived one.
No, there wasn't.
No?
Oh, not this year. That's a good point. Yeah, we were good this year.
We made decisions. We know what holidays we have off and which ones we don't.
Yeah.
You don't get Chinese New Year off, Barrett.
Yeah, Barrett.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That bums me out.
I understand.
This 3-day weekend, it was great. Played
was
a lot
great,
of
right?
Batman Arkham Knight.
Nah, we weren't. This wasn't like to talk to you about what was going on.
Okay.
I'm just saying it was cool to have a day off, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you know, I heard you come in the office. I don't like when you come in the office, you don't come in and talk to me and Tim. Come in and genuflect. You know what I mean? Kiss the ring once in a while.
I like to walk in and listen, blast music into my ears and set up the studio.
Yeah, I yelled, hey, Barrett, and we heard because I heard the music. I thought you were listening off your... It doesn't matter. Number one on the Roper Report! What the fuck is going on with Death Stranding Kojima and The Kojima, Last you know what of I mean? Us Part
That's
2?
That's the active verb.
Kojima gonna Kojima?
Yeah. Kojima gonna Kojima.
Over the weekend, or the, you know, it's just, time's a flat circle and a blur right now. But what's been happening over on Twitter is that they've been putting up different videos, little things, boom, right? And one said, help us reconnect. And there's like hands and movement, and like there's a silhouette and things are going on.
This all started about 2 weeks ago, I want to say, of images popping up, random cropped things. Fran and I were talking about our games daily, and now it's all leading to this.
Create the Rope was one of the videos that went up there, and then it came up with a tweet that said, the countdown to hashtag Death Stranding has started May 29th. Create the Rope. May 29th, tomorrow, Wednesday, Tim. What does it mean?
I don't know. Yeah. You gotta. Here's the thing. The assumption, the safe assumption, is we get a trailer for Death Stranding on May 29th.
Yeah.
But guess what? Kojima gone. Kojima.
Yeah.
Don't assume anything, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. What does this mean? I think it's equal chance that we'll get a trailer compared to we'll get some random ass just image that has exciting new information compared to just them being like, hey, here's some new meta game. The game starts now. Connect the ropes and it'll lead to the next stage. Then like turn this into one of those like I Love Bees Halo 2 situations
where it's kind of
we need everyone to connect and work together with this giant rope around the world.
Well, that's been the whole thing about this game,
to get the trailer
Kojima already
released.
Said you were working together. We were already playing the game, right? He said that in the RTX panel I did with him.
Yeah.
The game's already afoot. It's happening right now.
That's right.
What do you think? Is the game coming out tomorrow? You think it's going to shadow
out tomorrow?
Drop? Yeah. What if they shadow drop Death Stranding tomorrow?
No.
Why not? Just do it. Let live.
Because that's not a Kojima move. That's a stupid move. You know what I mean? Beyonce's shadow dropping an album.
Yeah.
Fantastic move, especially with Spotify. We're not in a place where that can make sense. If we were in a cloud streaming game world already, that could make a lot of sense. We're not.
I don't like that.
You need marketing. You need to be able to... We would know if that was happening. This game would be in
leaks.
Stores. This game would be, you know, ready to be sold.
Sure.
It's not.
That sucks. So...
The game would also be completed.
The fact that he's talking about it here, or they're talking about it, help us, you know, create the rope and all that stuff. That's what I imagine. Yeah, it's some metagame BS that's happening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to drop a trailer and then, or some kind of video thing, and then it's going to be, you go sign up somewhere and you start playing some weird meta, whatever, AR game. Maybe it's on your phone, maybe it's just in your browser. Something's going on to build into the Death Stranding. Maybe we're all making babies in bottles.
Maybe. Ew. Bottle babies?
Yeah.
Internet Explorers.
You ever made a balance?
Two babies?
No. All right.
I don't know. It's weird because I've been kind of keeping up with this, and I feel like I understand it as much as somebody that kept up with it entirely.
Sure.
Again, like jokes aside, Kojima's marketing is bizarre. His games are bizarre. This is the first time we're seeing him just go full Kojima on a game, and this... I don't even want to pretend I have any theories on what I think this is. I don't. I think the safest bet, subverting expectations of expecting a trailer, I think it would be some type of metagame. Having said that, I don't know. It could straight up be a trailer that announces the release date, or it could be a trailer announcing an act.
What do you mean this is the first time he's ever gone full Kojima? Remember the whole Moby Dick Studios and the guy with the bandage face?
Yeah,
but that was for Metal Gear, though.
Yeah, that was still pretty full Kojima.
Yeah, but I think that...
This is another step up.
There's a level. I mean, he's in control here.
That's true. That's
full
true.
Full control.
That's true.
Here.
No one's there to stop him.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Absolute power.
And you know, that could be a great thing.
It could be.
I'm firmly in the boat that it's going to be a good thing. I believe in Death Stranding eventually being a fantastic game. I think that the road to that is going to be very convoluted and confusing. And make no sense.
Sure, of course.
But it will all be connected.
It'll all be interesting. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be hype. You like the hype.
I do.
Hype.
And to be fair, I do feel like I'm not hyped right now on Death Stranding.
Sure.
This does not hype me at all.
You hate ropes.
This type of stuff? Yeah, no. Big... No, not a fan. I don't know where I was going with that. But
big... Yeah, you know what? No, just not a fan.
Yeah. But I'm not really that hyped. I feel like a trailer could get me a bit more hyped, but that trailer would need to have some substance to it. I want to see actual gameplay, not...
You saw Norman Reedus walking around.
He's a
delivery boy.
But it's like, I want to see a HUD. I want to see what it's going to look like when I'm playing the game.
Maybe there is no HUD, dude.
Maybe you are the HUD.
But like, that's not like the camera angles that you're going to be playing the game.
You don't know that.
You might be able to make it look like that. I don't know that. You're right.
You know what I mean? You're making a lot of sense.
Maybe Kojima's going, full Kojima, and it is literally just a movie. It's finally all cutscene. But no, I hope that we see real gameplay of it and a release date.
Okay.
Because at this point, with this type of hype and this type of buildup to something, I feel like the next big reveal of the game needs to be the what we're looking for. Because at some point, it just gets ridiculous.
Well, speaking of getting ridiculous. Now, that's all coming from official things, right? You see Troy Baker retweeting Kojima. Mm-hmm. You see Kojima Productions out there saying this stuff. Hashtag Death Stranding, all that jazz. Let's drift a little bit further into just rumors of PlayStation things, all right?
Let's do it.
Today and overnight, this scuttlebutt started of Last of Us Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, maybe there's going to be a state of play that gets announced today that'll all be mainly about Last of Us Part 2 this week. So it gets announced today and it's done. This could all be dated information and these are all rumors taken with a grain of salt. But we're in this Kojima pickle, so might as well get this Last of Us egg involved. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
State of play gets announced, maybe is what they're predicting. They say it's Last of Us 2 focused. And then they say the rumors and trusted sources at these Spanish-speaking sites are saying it's going to be a November release date announced.
Yes.
Whoa.
What is your BS barometer on this one?
My BS barometer on it is it could be true. It could not be true.
Yeah.
There is no telling. We'll know by the end of the day. But here's the thing that I think is important, Greg.
Sure.
We have reached a new point of video game hype and speculation and all this stuff. Sony has done what I would have thought was impossible for it to do in the last couple of years and create hype on the level of a Nintendo Direct. We're seeing the internet break fucking down right now about this Last of Us situation.
People love Last of Us.
Is the state of play happening? Is the state of play not happening? By Sony making state of play, and people can argue that the first two weren't what they were looking for, didn't have these bombshell announcements. Well, guess what? Now there is a format that at any moment they can announce it happens, and then there is a bombshell announcement. And people are caught up in the hype. And that could be a good or bad thing. You can really take that in a bad direction. But I love seeing Reset Era go crazy, theorizing, looking at everything, working together to figure out how to do the Grinch theory level conspiracies.
Sure.
Of is this real? Is this happening? And there's a level of hype that you only see with Nintendo Directs when it comes to what's going to be shown. Oh my God, are they going to show the biggest thing? Is it going to be an announcement of this or whatever? I love that we're at a point now that Sony and Nintendo going forward are always going to have this level of conversation, right?
Yeah.
I think that to me, this is proof that State of Play is a major success. There is now hype around their state of play and what they might talk about.
There's hype around The Last of Us, right?
No, this is state of play. Like The Last of Us, that's like saying Metroid Prime 4 or Animal Crossing or whatever. Those rumors, when they're being talked about, it's only being talked about in the form of state of play. They wouldn't just talk about, oh, Last of Us trailer's coming and the release date's coming. There wouldn't be like threads about that. Because state of play exists, there's threads about that. There's conversation about that. There's articles being written about that. And I feel like whether or not they're bullshit, and that's the problem, is like there is a bad side of hype where it's just like, all
right. This is Nintendo's problem with
exactly.
These directs, right?
Yeah. It's like once things are announced, then it just spirals into disaster. I personally love the stuff of like, love the deep dives of people trying to figure things out. And a lot of the times stuff ends up being true, you know? I will say that with these rumors, it's interesting that Jason Schreier kind of was like, I haven't heard anything. And he usually hears things.
Right.
You know, and he doesn't say, I haven't heard anything if he did.
Sure.
So I don't necessarily trust these, but I think that this is a very good sign that Sony has created something special with State of Play and that going forward.
I just don't believe you.
All right, we'll see.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just think that if there was a rumor that they're going to drop, one of the rumors that was going around didn't even mention the State of Play, right? It was just that they're going to drop a trailer and give a release date, and people were stoked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think this is proof of State of Play has been accepted and people love it, which I love State of Play.
We'll see. I bet I'm right, though. I bet that going forward, anytime a state of play starts getting announced, there's going to be 100 post threads of people speculating and having a conversation in a way that they would not if it was just, oh, a Last of Us 2 trailer's coming.
Okay.
Or something Last of Us is coming. It's like all of a sudden everything gets taken up a notch of an excitement about the brand, an excitement about the possibility.
Well, that's the brilliance of doing your own thing.
Which also brings a lot of letdown.
That's the brilliance of doing your own thing this way, right? Yeah. Is that suddenly, yeah, this is what we talked about, I thought, with the first two state of plays, which, you know, people, number one, a lot of people were disappointed by. I liked it because I'm a VR guy, but I didn't have high expectations. But it is that you now understand that it can be just a VR thing. It can be this medieval thing that talks about Monster Hunter, or it can be we're going to release
with the Final Fantasy VII remake trailer.
Like, sure.
That's the thing is, you know, I've lived through the entire life cycle of Nintendo Directs and how bad they were, how good they can be, everything in between, right? And seeing where they're at now, I really enjoy every time going in, once one's announced, but even when they're not announced, and this is what we're seeing with State of Play, it's not announced and there's conversation happening. If one does get announced, do you understand the levels of craziness that are about to go down of people speculating what's going to be in it and what else? And especially with this Kojima stuff going on now, are they related? Are they not related?
That's the other interesting thing, right? Of like, yeah, does if the dates lined up, if they were to have said, shout out to nanobiologist, blame it on Ryan and D. Melarnarkin, who point out today is not Monday, today's Tuesday. Sorry, that's going to be really hard for me to shake throughout the day. If this had been Monday and you're like, oh man, today they're going to announce the state of play and then it was going to be Wednesday, then you'd think, oh, it all lines up with what Kojima's saying, right? Oh, this is all totally linked to that. I don't think they're going to announce one today that goes till tomorrow, right? They need to give a little bit more hype breathing room.
I don't know, though. That's the thing. Is like, you'd think that, but look at Nintendo Directs the last... Every state of play that they've announced has been announced, I think, 3 days earlier than it actually happening to give people time to prep. Nintendo's down to the point where, like, they've been like, tomorrow, 3 p.m., right?
Yeah.
And, like, that's been crazy, but that works. That does create a level of stir-crazy hype that you can't just...
Yeah, because wasn't it yesterday where they talked about the announcement of Pokemon press conference thing? And that was yesterday, and now it's today. You know, it's fucking crazy.
That's what Nintendo's at. There's something to this, man. And like, again, I understand all of the cons of hype and all the cons of this rumor mill bullshit and whatever. But I do think that there's real value of hype and excitement around properties that you can't just get from dropping a trailer. Yes, people love Last of Us. A trailer comes out, it's going to get a million views. Easy, right? But the idea of hype around PlayStation is different than that. And I think that this is a sign of where we're going with all this.
I want to believe... And again, this could all be outdated. We might be wasting your time right now, truck driver. Burr, burr, you know, as you go around. I want to believe, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that it's going to happen. That they're going to announce the state of play today. It's going to be the last. It's going to do this. Where did this rumor come from? How did it all happen? Who knows?
Yeah.
Here's what I'll do. Yeah. Here's going to be, and I'm not even saying evidence, right? But here's what I'll propose to you, Tim Geddes. I went to Twitter.com, right? Where I looked up friend of the show, one of my best friends in the world. I married him, Scott Lowe. Scott Lowe, of course, senior communications manager at Naughty Dog, right? Of course, like I just said, one of my best friends in the world. I've never asked Scott Lowe anything about Last of Us Part 2, and I never would, because I don't want to ruin it, and that's not what our relationship is. We've been friends since IGN. I'm not going to do that. However, all his social media unprotected, of course. He's in South Korea right now on vacation with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm senior communications manager at Naughty Dog, and we're about to announce the Last of Us Part 2 release date, I don't think I'd be gone for it. Now, granted... Could be coming back. I don't know how you talk to your friends, how often you. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Scott about this trip. I immediately forget all his dates. Maybe he's coming back today. Maybe he's already on at the plane. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But I just don't buy it that you'd cut it that close coming back for what's going to be a major PR beat for you.
Yeah.
And you'd need to be in the community and talking to it and seeing reactions. And you'd want to be there for the studio and all this stuff. Neil Druckmann, of course, needs somebody to carry him around in his golden throne.
Exactly.
Monster.
On the other side of that, the PlayStation Twitter accounts people were pointing out are a lot more quiet than they normally are around this time.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's interesting. And also people were saying that when Sony does announce major things, it's usually at 1 p.m. Eastern, which pretty much by the end of the show.
Barry, you need to keep your eye on it, all right?
1 p.m. Eastern was 23 minutes ago.
Then okay. Then there's nothing. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that this is happening. I don't think that this rumor is real. I just think that this is a good sign going forward for PlayStation having a successful format that is going to every once in a while blow our minds and make PlayStation a much more valuable brand.
I don't know if it can get more valuable. You know what I'm talking about?
You can, dude.
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Okay.
Remember it? No. Remember that, guys?
No.
Number two on the Roper Report. Yes, again, more dated information for you. You're getting a Pokemon Direct today. Nintendo or Pokemon tweeted yesterday. Got any plans tomorrow, which would now be today. You do now, trainers. We've got some exciting updates to share. And you know what that means. Hashtag Pokemon Press Conference. Tune in at 6 p.m. Pacific time on May 28th and follow the updates live.
This is really interesting to me. So it's not a Direct. They did announce a Pokemon Direct is happening next week.
This is just the press conference.
June 5th.
Okay.
You're wrong me if I'm wrong about that. I think that one's at 6 a.m. That's about Pokemon Sword and Shield, where they're going to do a deep dive into that.
That makes more sense.
Tonight is the Pokemon press conference, which, again, no direct marketing or branding on that at all.
Yeah.
Last year, they did something that I don't know if they branded the Pokemon press conference. Again, correct me, please. But that's where they announced Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee and the Pokemon mobile game. But that was in Japan, and it was all in Japanese, and it wasn't streamed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was like a, I remember, I think Casey DeFreitas from IGN was like sent over there, and she was like giving us live
vlog. It was like old school press conference coverage from IGN.
The good old days.
And I remember we were in a movie. I don't remember what movie it was, some Marvel movie. And I was like constantly like running to the bathroom to check the Pokemon updates because I was waiting for the first Switch Pokemon, man.
Sure. Yeah.
Needed that hype. So I don't remember if they branded that as Pokemon Press Conference, but I do think that that could be a good sign of what we're about to see here.
Okay.
The fact that they're streaming it gives it a little bit more importance, like streaming it worldwide. And a lot of this is in English. So they're hyping this up in a way they didn't hype the other one up in America. What this leads to, I'm not exactly sure. Do you want to read the question?
Sure. Ben writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey, gentlemen, my question is in regards to the Pokemon Sword and Shield demo." And I think he means Direct. "Tim, what do you expect from this Direct given its proximity to E3? We're so close, I'm curious to Nintendo's reasoning for separating the Sword and Shield content from E3. Is there so much else to show they needed to, or are they just trying to appeal to a specific audience? Keep up the great work, guys." Also, Tim, you asked you're wrong to keep you honest.
Yes.
Nanobiologist points out, no, the Direct is next week at 6 a.m. He doesn't give a date. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. And then also don't worry about going.
Cool. So I think this is a great call from Nintendo to do a Pokemon specific direct deep dive into Sword and Shield. Get it out of the way for E3 so that people can focus on this. It's all Pokemon all day.
You're still going to get it during the direct. Yeah. Well, during the Nintendo Direct at E3. Exactly. Sword and Shield, here's a trailer of Pokemon Sword and Shield.
I mean, I don't know, actually, if we'll get a trailer for it. I think it might be just more of a mention because this is going to be the deep dive.
Are you excited for Doug Bowser?
Hell yeah, man. Let's see what he got for us. But I love this. We do need more Sword and Shield info. That one trailer did not do enough for me. I want to see really what makes this the first console Pokemon experience. And I love that we also have Super Mario Maker 2 out of the way. These are two games that we've known about. We got to expect this is coming October, November time. And with Mario Maker coming end of June, this leaves E3. The most exciting thing to me is that it leaves Nintendo's E3 open.
Yeah.
Last year we got Smash Brothers and it took up the majority of the time. And I was all about that. Many people were all about that because Smash Brothers is a different type of title than Pokemon. I feel like you can go deeper into it and make hype announcements of character reveals and this and that. And everyone is here and all that.
Yeah.
And that speaks to a mainstream audience in a way that nitty-gritty Pokemon Sword and Shield Direct 100%. Doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not to say, I mean, Pokemon's bigger than Smash, right? But in terms of information, role-playing games are never fun to watch and hear about if you don't care, right?
Yeah.
That is a better place for just the quick hype trailer of Sizzle, you know?
Yeah.
So I think this is all great. I think this is really cool. I like that they're separating from it so close to E3. Makes me feel like Nintendo's E3 Direct is going to be
fucking
pretty,
awesome.
Pretty damn cool, right? I think you'll get your Animal Crossing.
Fuck yeah, I better get my Animal Crossing.
Luigi's Mansion, some updates on a lot of stuff that we already know about, but I think that moving Pokemon out of that is giving time to at least one major surprise reveal there at E3. And then with this Pokemon press conference that's happening today, I really don't know. Again, the fact that they're making a bigger deal out of it and hyping it up says that there might be something really cool. I think that it is most likely another mobile game, like a Pokemon Go 2 type situation, or some type of Pokemon mobile. I don't know. I don't really know if it's going to be. I don't expect a core title because that's too close to Sword and Shield. A lot of people like Pokemon Snap. It's not happening, Pokemon Snap.
Joey. I'm sorry.
I think it's too early to announce a Detective Pikachu 2, and I don't think this is the avenue for them to do that. And Pokemon Let's Go 2, so Johto, the second generation, which I imagine will be Togepi and Meryl, maybe. But
you're just making these names up.
Togepi and Meryl.
No, yeah, those are two very real Pokemon, and they're very sweet Pokemon.
And do you agree with me? That's probably what they would be. Maybe choose one of the starters.
No,
you know,
yeah.
It'll be Togepi.
Togepi and Totodile.
See? I'm in it, dude. Get hype, baby.
Let's fucking go, dude.
Or let's go Lugia and Ho-Oh. I don't know. Anyways, I think it's too early to announce that because that's stepping on the toes of Sword and Shield. And Let's Go was just last year.
Yeah, Let's Go. It was just so recently.
It next year we'll get
Let's Go 2.
Let's Go 2. But yeah, so it is weird timing for this. Like, what are they going to focus on and announce? We'll see.
We shall.
6 p.m., baby.
Are you doing reacts or anything?
Tentatively, yes.
Okay.
There's a lot going on right now in life, so I don't want to confirm anything, but we might do a live reaction later. Stay tuned to Kinda Funny Vids Twitter for more info on that.
That's right. Bear, keep it posted. Keep it locked, all right?
Sure.
Zaire says the Pokemon Direct is June 5th. Number three on the Roper Report is a Ubisoft subscription service incoming. This is from John Wilds at IGN, who reports the Ubisoft store appears to have leaked a placeholder image revealing presumably an EA Access style subscription service. As reported by VG247, a Reset Era user spotted the image that was briefly live on the Ubisoft store, and it appears to out a previously unannounced service called Ubisoft Pass. Although entirely unconfirmed, Ubisoft Pass certainly sounds like a subscription service. Additionally, the word premium leads to speculation that we may even see a tiered service with different levels of access. This wouldn't be surprising considering that Ubisoft typically launches its new game titles with a myriad of special editions. What do you think?
Let me ask you a question, Greg. By the end of this E3, which publishers will not have this type of service?
Square.
Square?
Yeah.
PlayStation.
PlayStation Now kind of already is it, right?
No.
You're talking about a very specific...
I'm talking about like new titles and
day and date
type stuff.
Maybe they announce that for PlayStation Now. Maybe everybody flakes out. Maybe
they don't.
No, outside Crash Bandicoot, but it's Sean Layden.
Okay.
Hope you all had fun at the Xbox conference.
You know, the real side of that is like, I think that we're about... This is going to be the talk of E3. Is these type of services, and I imagine in Ubisoft's press conference, they're going to talk about whatever it's called.
Ubisoft Pass.
Ubisoft Pass.
Yeah.
Great name for it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
People understand what that means.
Yeah.
I definitely think we're going to see that. I don't think we're going to get a Square one. Bethesda wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's a guarantee.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get it from
Bethesda. But I think that like they could. And
I feel like these seem to start, we're talking about EA, right? It starts when you have your own platform to push, right? Mm-hmm. And that's Uplay, right? And Ubisoft crap. They have all that shit they want to push.
Yeah.
They want you to go over there, which would be my question of, is it a thing that's going to be everywhere? Is it just going to be on PC so you use their launcher and get in all that jazz?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, I guess. We have to wait and see. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility, but I also, when you look at the image that's in the article, it's such a Ubisoft Pass, and it's like no image attached to it. So it's like, whatever, I guess. We could be grasping at straws. It could be nothing. It could be something you applies to Ubisoft games in general that you buy, and it's some loyalty program.
Here's my thing, though, is like what I was saying a second ago about it being a great name. Yeah. I think it's a great name because all we need to see is a logo, and I know exactly
what you're
getting.
That's
and
true.
Again, we don't know. We're speculating, but like I think that that's powerful branding, and that's what they need most for things like this because PlayStation Now, like, it starts getting convoluted when you don't understand immediately what the service is.
Yeah. Number four on the Roper Report. And also for number three, remember E3 right around the corner. A bunch of stuff going to happen. Everybody will see. You can watch it all here. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We'll be reacting to everything. Number four. People like games. I got two little bullet points for you. Super Hot sold a bunch of copies. This is Hayden Taylor over at GamesIndustry.biz. In just over 3 years, abstract indie shooter Super Hot has sold more than 2 million units. The Super Hot team revealed the figure while speaking at the PC Games Insider.biz at Digital Dragons in Krakow this week. Originally launched as an Xbox exclusive, Super Hot reportedly sold between 1.2 million and 1.5 million units of the regular game. However, the game has also sold over 800,000 VR units, accounting for around 40% of its lifetime sales.
Those numbers are super impressive. Super impressive. I love Super Hot so much. And I think the most impressive part about this is 800,000 VR units. This is such a standout VR game.
Totally.
When we did the Let's Play of it for the PlayStation VR show, I was blown away.
Yeah.
Great game without VR.
Yeah.
Even better game with
VR. When I have people over and they want to try VR for the first time, this is one I always put them in.
It makes you feel cool. It gives you everything the promise of VR is, right? It's immersive and it transports you into a different world. So it's everything about VR and everything about video games that you could want in one package.
Yeah.
And congrats to them, man.
If you haven't played Super Hot, you definitely need to play Super Hot. So good.
I played it for the first time last week on the Quest.
Oh, nice.
And like, yeah, it was one of those things where it was so immersive and you feel so cool that I did not realize an hour had passed. And I was like, oh,
yep.
I've been in here for an hour and I'm super sweaty.
It warmed my heart to see the images and stories that you guys were using the Quest while I was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted it set up when I left so everybody would actually get in there and try it. Because I'll tell you what, man, I adore the Oculus Quest.
Yeah, same. I'm like debating on buying one.
It's one of those where I would tell you 100% to do it.
Yeah.
And I know I say that in a way, not a weird way. I mean, obviously we give our opinions all the time, but even PlayStation VR, right? Mm-hmm. It's that thing of like, well, it's this, it's that. Like every time all I did this weekend was play VR games. That's all I played. Blood and Truth on PlayStation VR. Then when Jen started playing Beat Saber for the first time on PlayStation VR, I put on the Oculus Quest and I played Vader Immortal. I played more of Beat Saber on the Quest. Like, that machine is so fucking amazing. Like, it's such a game changer for VR. I can't believe that I'm doing a trip next week in E3. I'm going to bring it with me. Because, like, I wanted, when Beat Saber launched on PSVR, I was doing it every morning as, like, not a workout thing, but a way to, like, wake up, right, and do some movement and not just sit in my chair all day long. And then it was that we went on the road and I stopped, I'm not going to bring my PlayStation VR, et cetera, et cetera. It's so easy. It's so turnkey. You toss it in the bag and it's just there and it's ready to go. It's cool. The making the room boundaries is so fucking impressive alone, let alone the quality of the games, let alone the speakers into your ears. Like, I can't get over how much I like that thing.
I saw him try it. I need to.
Get your ass together, all right? You can take it anywhere.
Got to get my head in the game, literally.
Get your head in the game. The other one on People Like Games, Dauntless, put this up on Twitter. More than 5 million players have answered the call and become slayers. More than 5 million have answered the call and become slayers.
Become slayers?
I think, there's a word missing there for sure. On their part, I just copied it. The behemoth threat isn't slowing down and neither are we. Hashtag live for the hunt. Congratulations to Dauntless, 5 million out the gate. People really like that game. I have it downloaded. I want to play it. But again, it was a VR weekend. Mm. Oh, by the way, that's Blood and Truth. Awesome. Yeah. Great PlayStation VR title.
Cool.
Really, really, really good. Everybody should check it out. Awesome story. Awesome soundtrack. It's fun to play. I think it's the evolution, and this might sound negative, but stick with me, the evolution of light gun games in the arcade mixed with that, like, you remember, like, Mad Dog McCree or whatever you used to play in that thing? It's that very much.
And that's amazing.
And it's all. And so I think I could go for smarter AI. We'll get to that in a little bit. They're actually adding more stuff to it. But that's, like, my one complaint leaving it. It's the game I finished, and granted, I want a trophy hunt in it for sure. I'd like to get the platinum. But it was that the next morning after beating it, I was like, I want to play more and put it back on and ran some levels and, like, get to select your weaponry. Great game. Blood and Truth's great. Congratulations to Dauntless. I hear it's great. I see Fran playing it. I know Andy was playing it, but they don't come into work on time. Number 5, and finally on the Roper Report for today, this is an update to the Ancestors Epic Games exclusivity. It's explained by Matthew Handerhand over at GamesIndustry.biz. Private Division has clarified that the 3 months where Ancestors the Humankind Odyssey will only be available on Epic Games Store is down to ensuring high standards for the console versions rather than part of its deal with Epic. So it was announced, of course, that it's going to be on Epic Games Store starting in August, right? I got that right? Yeah. And then, okay. Yes. No? And then it's going in December, it'll come out everywhere else. People are like, oh, it's part of the deal with Epic. Epic's not only keeping it off of Steam, it's keeping it off of consoles. That's not the case. Private Division and Panache Digital Games share a passion for providing the best possible experience for our players, said a senior producer at Private Division in a statement. It was Kari. As partners, we support Panache in taking the time to ensure all versions of Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey, deliver the standard of polish upon release that the team has set for themselves. As a developer-focused publisher, this is an important approach we take working with smaller independent teams. The console versions of Ancestors will launch in December this year, while the PC version will launch in August. And the time between the game will only be available on the Epic Games Store. So clarification, if you were in a tizzy about that.
If you want a preview of Ancestors, you can watch the Kind of Funny Games cast with Devin Sawa.
That's true.
Where he went for us to preview the game.
And he liked it a lot. Devin Sawa, talking about Ancestors. YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. Tim?
Yes.
I can't wait to see what this Ancestor game is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a monkey. I'm evolving. Millions of years
but
is going on.
But that was so long ago.
I know. If I wanted something more timely, say what came to the mom and pop shops. Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. First off, there's a big update for Red Dead Online. Here comes the top bullet point. The Wild Animal Kills Challenge is now available in Red Dead Online with points awarded based on the size of the animal, along with bonus points for prized and dangerous predators. Offensive attacks against other players are disabled during the challenge, keeping the focus of this free roam event squarely on the hunt. Also new this week is Head for the Hills, the latest showdown mode, in which players take in turns running to their safe house while opponents try to take them down along the way. What's going on with Red Dead? People, do we know anybody playing Red Dead Online?
Nah.
Right?
No, we don't.
Hashtag Greg was right.
A lot of people playing it, though.
Damn.
Gary, we're talking about it a couple weeks ago.
Gary Whitta?
Mm-hmm.
He was lying. Chime Sharp is coming to Switch. This is all today. Little Friends, Dog and Cats on Switch. Blood and Truth is on PlayStation VR. If you have PlayStation VR, pick it up. Great game. Good acting. Fun times. Layers of Fear 2, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Getting amazing reviews.
And another party mode that's up right now. YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. What's party mode?
Good for them, man.
It's our Let's Play series that Andy edits really hard. And I understand that the overwhelming majority of you listen to us as a podcast. Really help us out if you went and watched party mode.
Party it
just
up.
Make Andy feel like what he does matters around here. We all know.
Make him feel like
Nick
it.
Is dragging him to the depths of hell with KFAF. It's what's going to make him quit.
Yeah.
Vambrance, Cold Souls on PC and Mac. Lapsus Cross Labyrinth is on PlayStation 4 and Switch. A game announced, if you remember, at the original Kind of Funny Game Showcase. Crystal Crisis is on PS4 and Switch. Cricket 19 is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch.
All right.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons is on Switch. Unruly Heroes is on PlayStation 4. Rescue HQ is on PC. Golem Gates is on PlayStation 4. Opus Collection, The We Found Earth plus Rocket of Whispers is on Switch. Go Fishing 3D is on Switch. Battle Worlds Chronos is on Switch. Bite Driver is on PC. Wood Boy is on PC. Spellforce 3 Soul Harvest is on PC. Oik Memory Endgame is on PC. You fucking dorks. Gear City Against Chaos is on PC. And then TT Isle of Man is available on the Nintendo Switch. Here's Oik Memory Endgame. Oh, it's just a memory game. Is that what I'm doing here?
I think so.
Look at me, everybody, in my memory. Oh, what's happening, Tim? Well, these bricks are filling in. You excited? Sorry, truck drivers. New dates for you. Truck Driver is arriving on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One September 19th, 2019. If you're paying attention, that's 2 days before Poe's birthday.
How did that just happen?
I don't know. God. New Battlefield 5 map Mercury is coming May 30th. Luna from our friend Robin Honeykey over at Phenomena. Coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR June 18th. I'm very excited for that. Blood and Truth is getting DLC. They don't have a date, but I wanted to read. This is from the PlayStation blog. We're also happy to confirm today that we will be supporting the game with free DLC post-launch, such as online leaderboards, new time attack and score challenges, new game plus, and an additional hard mode for those of you who want to up the ante. Again, my one real complaint was that the AI kind of brain dead in some ways. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not... Mm-hmm. I could stay way back and shoot at them and take them down and then move up to get the next wave and do stuff. Not brain dead to like, oh my God, I'm not having any fun. It was fun to shoot them. I'm doing different cool moves, doing all this different stuff. But it was like, you know, sometimes you'd come around, you'd see them before they were ready to do something, like whatever.
Yeah.
It's cool they're adding that. Also, new game plus, I would definitely replay this game. Sea of Solitude coming, hashtag game provided by PlayStation. Sea of Solitude comes out July 5th on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And then Stellaris, Ancient Relics is launching on June 4th. Tim?
Cool.
It's time for Reader Mail.
Oh, let's get to it.
But before then, let's talk about our sponsors. Guess who's back, ladies and gentlemen? Omaha Steaks.
Yeah.
This Father's Day, give Dad a gift packed with the Omaha Steaks he craves. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code KFGAMES in the search bar for 74% off.
Wow.
The Father's Day Steak Fix gift package. A $235 value now for only $59.99.
But what'd I get, Greg?
You'd get 2 tender filet mignons, 2 bold top sirloins, 2 savory pork chops, 4 Omaha steak burgers, 4 massive gourmet jumbo franks, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, all beef meatballs, 4 premium chicken breasts, 4 caramel apple tartlets for dessert, a packet of Omaha Steaks signature seasoning, and you'll get 4 extra Omaha steak burgers for free.
Whoa.
Give this amazing package as a gift for dad or stock up for the incredible summer grilling, all at 74% off. Like it says right there, remember, Father's Day is coming. You're going to forget. You might say, Greg, I don't have a dad. I hate my dad. Guess what? No one's checking at Omaha Steaks if you're giving them to your dad.
And guess what?
Order
for
yourself.
Steaks. Just do it for yourself.
We get them here all
do
the time.
It for your family.
You know that. You've heard the story before. I sent them to my dad for his birthday once. He liked it so much, he sent it back for my birthday. That's how it goes.
We all enjoyed it.
Exactly. Again, order now. You can get this exclusive offer at Omaha Steaks Father's Day Steak Fix Package, valued at $235 for just $59.99. Just go to omahasteaks.com and type the code KFGAMES into the search bar. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KFGAMES in the search bar to get the Father's Day Steak Fix Package. Today.
Kevin comes in to show me a picture of the fridge right now.
We have a lot in there,
filled to the brim with Omaha steaks. And
we need to do a barbecue. Next sponsor, Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. Premium membership gives you unlimited access, so you can join the classes and communities that are just right for you. Whether you want to fuel your curiosity, creativity, or even career, Skillshare is the perfect place to keep you learning and thriving. Highlights from one of the more... this is your highlight. What did you do? You've used Skillshare. Nick's used Skillshare.
So here's my thing. I love Skillshare. It has a bunch of tutorial videos on Adobe Premiere. All the Adobe...
Adobe Suite.
Premiere, which is video editing, Photoshop, which is obviously for photo editing, all that stuff. But a cool story at the meet and greet we did in Orlando this week, I met a best friend who was saying that he used Skillshare because of us talking about it. And it made him realize how much he loves graphic design. Like, he's always been kind of interested in doing it, but he was scared for that initial step in.
Yeah.
And he said Skillshare eased him in, and he's been using it the last couple months, and now he's pursuing graphic design.
Look at that.
Cool stuff.
Very nice. Skillshare is also super affordable. An annual subscription is less than $10 for a month. Join more than 7 million creators learning with Skillshare. The first 500 of my subscribers to use the link in the description of the YouTube video will get a 2-month free trial. The first 500 people to sign up will receive a 2-month free trial. Go right now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Click on this episode of the Kind of Funny Games Daily. Mm-hmm. There's the link. Bada bing, bada boom. You're
wake
in.
It up.
Ignacio Rojas writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Heyo, Ignacio here. So last Saturday, E3 announced that it would be hosting a panel with the writers and producers of The Simpsons at the E3 Coliseum. Do you think this is a move by the ESA to diversify what E3 has to offer and thus appeal to more people? Or could this be a sign that a new Simpsons game will be announced at E3? Fingers crossed for a new Simpsons game in the style of The Simpsons game. Anyways, keep up. Keep being awesome. And Tim, are you ready to admit now that Disney World is better than Disneyland?"
First off, holy shit, Cool Greg. Are we about to get Simpsons Hit and Run remastered,
yo,
baby?
Yo, let's go!
What? No, I imagine there's some gaming element to this, Ignacio.
You hope so.
Yeah, it's like with Netflix being there, they specifically said it is for games based on their Netflix content, even though people have, you know, there's a lot of crossover between people that like watching things and playing things. But I imagine that there's going to be something Simpsons related.
Realistically, probably a mobile game.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be.
People loved that Simpsons Tappin' one.
Tap out or whatever?
Yeah, that's right. Is that what it was? Yeah.
I had
the wrestling game?
No, it was
They did. They did a mobile game where it was like a town builder.
Kevin, you know what I mean? That on PlayStation 1. That cell shaded game.
Oh, right. Yeah, I do remember that one.
That was the whole thing.
Now, Poe really liked the Simpsons Tap Out, where it was you were building Springfield or
tapped
whatever.
Tapped out.
Sorry.
Interesting. Yeah.
My hope is that if they're doing it, it's basically, if they're not, then I do think it is the ESA being like, man, we have to fill gaps here. How do we get people in here? And I don't know. I legitimately don't know how those panels work. If they're, that's the stuff Keeley sets up, right?
Yeah, the panels Keeley set up, is that related to ESA?
Well, I think he's hired through ESA to do it. No.
Oh, yeah?
I am totally out of the plane right now without a parachute. I would assume that's how this is. I have no insider knowledge of how it works.
At some point, I remember it being the YouTube Coliseum.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But Jeff hosts the E3, the official YouTube E3 live stream, which I always thought was in some way partnered with ESA.
Partnered with, sure, but not ran by. Right?
I'm going to text him.
Which would then change this. You gotta text him. If Jeff Keighley fucking gets back to you by the time this show's over, I will. I don't know what I'll do.
Shave your head.
Oh, I almost texted Jeff Ramsey.
Shave my head. God, that was a close call. No.
Phil, time. Talk about something.
Phil and Tom.
Talk about Disney.
Tim, are you ready to admit now that Disney World's better than Disneyland? It is not better than Disneyland. And I will say it's not what you expect me to say there. It's equal to Disneyland. They are both beautiful and magic in their own special ways. And literally anybody that wants to pit them against each other doesn't believe in love and magic, all right? All these people that are like fighting on either sides, let's just love, all right? God, I had a great time. Can't wait to talk about it. Kind of Funny Podcast later today. Thanks, Barrett.
It's the man of the people right there, Tim Gettys.
People, dude. Gotta love it. What a great time I had, though.
Man, I was jealous the entire time you were tweeting, and I was like, damn.
It was good, man.
I haven't been to Disney World probably since I was like in fourth grade or something like that, and it was magical. Like, I never went to Epcot, so I imagine Epcot, like, as an adult is really fun.
It was.
But yeah, like, just thinking about, like, the Hollywood Studios and, like, Disney, like world proper. Like,
you would have loved it, man. You would have loved it. Shout out to my boy, Andrew McLean, showing me around, a.k.a. Star-Lord, a.k.a. a best friend. Fantastic best friend.
All right, it's out. We'll see you.
Cool. We'll see.
He's a busy man, obviously. You know what I mean? Yeah, so you hope it's a game, and if not, I do think it is E3 being like, man, we got a lot of time to fill here at the Coliseum. Not that many games for some reason people want to do, or how do you want to do it? Figuring it. EJ writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hear me out. Are press conferences really a big deal? I mean, really? Some people act like not having a press conference is going to hurt a company, but I think it's just the press being a little butthurt about it. Going to the press conference made the press feel a little special, maybe. Me personally, I only watched a press conference once, years ago, and it was a big waste of time. A few minutes after a trailer is shown, it's on the internet. I can spend 25 minutes watching the trailers I care about and go on with my day. I've never watched anyone react to a press conference, but I'd imagine everyone gets quiet when the trailer is being shown. Then everyone talks about when the person is presenting. So again, it seems like press conferences benefit the media / influencers and their views / clicks, not so much as the company holding the press conference. Since the media is present and received their special press pass, they are more likely to write more positive things. In this day and age, getting rid of press conferences seems logical. I'll just refresh a gaming website every 10 minutes or so, and whatever trailer just aired will be on the front page of the site. For most consumers, I feel that having a press conference or not doesn't matter.
I totally disagree. I think that press conferences kind of give weight to a lineup of games and kind of introduce you to things that you wouldn't ever normally look at. It reminds me of watching a movie and seeing the trailers play before the movie. Yes, you can watch those trailers on YouTube at any point you want, but I'm never going to sit and I would have never seen the Brightburn trailer. I wouldn't have went out of my way to click on it if I hadn't seen it play before a movie that I was watching. I would have never seen, and that works in a bad way, I would have never seen A Dog's Purpose 10, Dogs Who Let the Dogs Out.
That one last night before Aladdin. It's just like, they're doing this again.
They're doing it again.
It's not A Dog's Purpose. Kevin Costner's a fucking race car dog. Great,
yeah,
okay.
Race car dog, yeah, I don't know.
See how long that dog's alive? I'm like, watch this thing. I'm like, there's no way this dog's seeing all these parts of this person's life.
But then you get Homeward Bound. You know what I mean? Not all dogs are bad, but or all dogs go to heaven. But I think that press conferences are important for having these different companies kind of stand by their lineup and be like, look, we make a lot of different video games, and we want you to see how we fit into all of this. And it also is, I think, important to get to know the people behind the games and to be able to see these faces that are representing the different companies and give all of them a different opportunity to say what they want to say about the game to give context to the trailers that you're watching.
Yeah, I think press conferences serve a purpose outside of, I mean, like, to EJ's point, right? He's like, it's just live reactions are just benefiting the people who are like viewers and streamers. So he's going to do the smart thing and just refresh a website every time. Well, I'm like, well, that's giving them the clicks and impressions that also there is. We can't sit there and be like, it's all part of the same beast of marketing in terms of what this is.
Yeah. I mean, us doing we are media doing live reactions to the stuff. If I wasn't doing it on camera, I'd be doing it
with your friends.
I'm doing my own live reaction.
That's the thing is, I feel like it's just it's an event in the same way people want to get drummed up about sporting events. It's the same way for us.
Absolutely.
Where you could, AEW did their first pay per view this weekend, right? And I looked in, I was like, oh shit, that's tonight. Fuck, I'll look into it. And it was like $50, and I was like, no, that's too steep for me. And it's crazy now that I used to do that every month for WWE, but now with the WWE Network, I don't even think about it. I was like, ooh, too steep for me right now, especially with Jen not being super into it. I'm not going to make her watch this thing. Instead, I'll just catch the clips of what was awesome on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing here, where it's like, for some people, though, that was a huge deal. They needed to watch that. They needed to be a part of it. They wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to live react with everybody else. They wanted to be part of that event. That's how press conferences are for us.
And on this line here, since the media is present and received their special press pass, they're more likely to write more positive things. In my experience, it's been the exact opposite.
If your press conference even stutters for a second, people are pissed.
Yeah. And it's like us being, nobody wants to be there once you're in press. Like, everybody, when you're not impressed, wants to be at the press conferences because they're super awesome and super hype.
When you have to do work there, it's cool.
When you have to work, it is not an ideal situation. There's
Wi-Fi never works.
Jason Derulo perform and all this stuff because you're trying to get stuff done.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you're a fan, it's like, I remember when I got to go to the PlayStation conference just as a fan before, like, on my first E3, it was one of the best experiences of my life. I loved that. Every Nintendo conference I've been to, I loved it, no matter what. But also, I was on the video side, so I didn't really need to...
You see us for sure not send people down to E3 for the conferences. We react here because it's just better for what we do. And it's the same thing at IGN, right? Where when they started really taking live pre and post show seriously, right? They pulled me off of going to stuff to either host or be the commentator for like what's going on with PlayStation. What did you think of this? Because it didn't make sense in the old days of we'll send the entire podcast Beyond Crew to the PlayStation conference, and then the post show is a bunch of people who aren't the PlayStation voices and nobody knows what they're talking. You know, not doesn't know what they're talking about, but people the audience is like, wait, where is the podcast Beyond? Where's Dunham? Where's Roper? I still think they serve a purpose. I do think that even pivoting to the showcase, not the showcase, pivoting to State of Play. Thank you. That still does not tip my tongue. Is still a press conference. That's still what you're doing. Like that's
it's modern.
Yeah, exactly. It's a modern way to do it. Mm-hmm. Calm down, everybody. You know what I mean? Question for you, Tim.
Please ask me it.
I came of age after the term butthurt.
Yeah.
Is that something you can say anymore?
Yeah, it's a no-no.
No?
These days.
Is it implying you got...
Anal sex, Greg.
Is that... Okay, cool. I thought so. That's why... Is that right?
I never knew that's like what the connotation was.
It feels like... Because that's what I've always interpreted, but then he used it and I was already saying it, so I was like, meh. Is that an okay thing to say? So don't say butthurt, kids.
Yeah, I mean, you said it and I kind of like winced at it, but it's just... It's a wince in the way of like, it's not something you can't say. It's a thing you shouldn't say. People get upset about it. Why are you trying to upset people?
Yeah, well, if they have to ask the origin of the word, then fuck yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's time to squat out. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/Patreon, where you can submit all your Patreon stuff on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Saved it, everybody. Don't worry about it. Today, Kyle writes in needing help in a video game because that's
what the fuck does Kyle want?
He needs help on a cross-platform game. Basically, that they're Dauntless, which apparently 5 million of you are playing, right? Did I say 5 million earlier? 5 million of you are playing. Somebody needs to come help Kyle. His username is... His epic ID, I'm sorry, is CKC_15_... That's it. CKC_15_. Hey, Greg and Tim. With summer break starting, I am looking for some best friends to help slay behemoths in Dauntless. I don't know if there is already a kind of funny guild. Parentheses. The game will not let you search for guilds. It's very dumb. But if there is enough interest, I'll create one. My epic ID is CKC_15_ for anyone on any platform looking to play. Apparently, again, 5 million of you are playing that. Go ahead and do it. To my knowledge, no kind of funny clan up and running yet or guild. I would like to play it, but there's just so many other things to play too. I don't know when I'll get back to it. But if you want to play with Kyle, hit him up. CKC_15_. Tim?
Yes.
It's time for Your Wrong.
Oh,
this is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up after the fact. Gamey writes in and says, Tim, it's known as Lunar New Year. Chinese, most if not all Asian countries celebrate their own version of New... I don't know why I put Chinese comma. Most if not all Asian countries celebrate their own version of Lunar New Year. So there you go.
Yeah, Tim.
In San Francisco, when I got the day off, they called it Chinese New Year.
Sure. Well, again...
We went to school at different times because it was definitely a Lunar New Year when I was in school.
Nicole Humphrey writes in, of course. You know Nicole, right? I've hung out with Nicole a lot
Humphrey,
of times.
I can't put a face to the name.
East Coast best friend.
Yes.
Okay. She's awesome. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's the only person
I had a phone
ever
call with her that one time. You called me
when you were with her. We were wasted. I remember that one.
Yeah, exactly. You guys were super wasted.
Nicole writes in and says, you have not taken all holidays off this year. You had an episode on January 21st, Martin Luther King Day, which, as you know, means you're racist. Much love and respect as always, Nicole.
Thank you.
I love Nicole. Nanobiologist writes in and says, missed a new date. Killer Queen Black is up for pre-order on Amazon. $30 includes controller skins.
Whoa, what's the fucking date?
Releasing August 20th, 2019.
Okay.
Dude, the fucking controller stickers look awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. Super hot. I can't wait for that. I didn't see it either. But thank you very much, Nanobiologist. That's how it is.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. RoosterTeeth.com. Podcast services around the globe. Your hosting lineup for the rest of the week goes like this. Tomorrow, it's me and Gary Witta for a Witta Wednesday. Thursday, it's me and Tim for a Tim Tam Thursday.
Tim Tam Thursday.
Friday, it's me and Andrea. For a fun time Friday.
Yeah.
Andrew doesn't have any alliteration I can use for F.
Mm-mm.
No, I was thinking of something with the red hair. That doesn't have it. No.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.